Welcome to the podcast series Talking Success, connecting the global fintech community. I'm Stacey Jafta, and today I'll be chatting with Sebastian Cohen, co-founder and CEO of GrowWise Capital. GrowWise designs business funding solutions tailored to best meet your business needs. Their business model is built on giving South Africa businesses an opportunity to grow. Sebastian, how are you?
Hey, Stacey, how's it going?
Good, good, good. A couple of weeks ago, I heard you refer to yourself as Seb. Is that like close friends only, what the general public call you?
No, so my name is Sebastian Cohen, but everyone calls me Seb or Sebby. I don't generally go by Sebastian.
Okay, I don't know if I've earned the right to call you that yet, but we'll see what
You've
this
podcast
is. You
definitely earned the right.
Okay, Sebby, let's see how this goes. Okay, before we dive any deeper, I think it'd be a great place to just understand more about your career journey. You're this young entrepreneur and you're building this incredible business, and I want to hear all about it.
Okay, great. I'll give you a bit of background about myself. My name's Sebastian Cohen. I'm CEO and co-founder of GrowWise Capital. I founded GrowWise Capital with my brother, whose name is Maximilian, or Max, and my partner and friend from school, Jonty Strimling. Just to give you a breakdown of how we manage it, Maxi is a chief operations officer, so he manages all our operations, and Jonty is our chief risk officer, so he manages risk, which I'm sure, as you can imagine, is quite an important role to have in a business like ours. I went to King David Victory Park for high school. I then moved on to WITS, where I studied an undergraduate. That was in 2014 I started. After that, I did a little bit of studying abroad for about a year. Studying abroad and spending time abroad was probably the most formative time of my life.
I got
exposure.
Where did you go?
I spent time in the Middle East, time in the US. I moved around. But I would say that was the most formative time, you know, as an entrepreneur for me, because I got exposure. It was the first time that I really got exposure to different people. I started learning a lot about the global world, understanding different business concepts that maybe weren't in South Africa yet. So that was a very formative time for me. I came back to South Africa at the beginning of 2019, recharged and ready to take on something new and exciting. I thought that, you know, merchant financing and merchant cash advance is a really exciting space, something that had maybe been under-tapped in South Africa at that point. There were a few guys doing it already, but I thought that, you know, the market could facilitate or could use a couple more guys like us. I always say, and whenever I'm pitching but explaining what GrowWise Capital does, I'll never forget sitting and watching Sona, the State of the Nation address in 2019, and the president stood up and he said that, you know, SMEs are the backbone of South Africa, that they were projecting that by the year 2030, 98 to 99 of South Africa's employment would be attributed to SMEs. Wow. And that we were really relying on SMEs to be sort of, like I said, the backbone and a massive economic contributor. So I just remember sitting watching Sona and saying to myself, well, you know, Seb, it's a no-brainer. This is a market that's growing and is growing rapidly. At the same time, this is a sort of a sector that's going to contribute so greatly to South Africa's economy and to South Africa's economic growth. And I think that was really the turning point for me when I started GrowWise Capital, was literally sitting at Sona, sitting at my TV watching Sona and hearing these stats come out with these projections. To give you a bit of background, GrowWise Capital is a merchant cash advance company or an alternate lender. We specialize in assisting SMEs with working capital, you know, working capital solutions or you know, giving them cash flow. That's pretty much our core product, and that's what we've tried to focus on since inception. And we've gotten pretty good at it. I'd say we've gotten really good at it. We're really, like I said, we're really driven by the fact that this is something that contributes greatly to South Africa's economy. And if we can do our part in assisting companies in growing, invariably, you know, some won't be able to grow. But if we can assist the guys that have the potential to grow, the guys that don't necessarily qualify for bank financing or you know, conventional lending solutions, That's something that we're really motivated by and driven by.
Did you mention that you started this business when you came back from studying abroad?
Correct. I started in 2019. I think I got back to South Africa around February or March 2019. We spent about 2.5 to 3 months workshopping it, and then we went live.
Did you have any corporate experience or work at any other startups prior?
It's really interesting because I actually didn't.
So interesting.
Yeah, I'd had a lot of exposure. I'd always been very interested in business. And I mean, I'll definitely tap into it at some point of the podcast. But, you know, I'd always had an unbelievable mentoring structure and, you know, unbelievable sort of group of people that would mentor me and assist me and explain concepts to me and really dedicate the time to, you know, dedicate time to me. Whether they saw something in me or not, I'm not sure, but it was something that really, really paved the way to me starting GrowWise Capital. And I still tap into that mentoring network today. I had had work experience a little bit in sales, understanding, you know, in depth, you know, the sales system and stuff like that. But I didn't have a massive corporate background coming into GrowWise.
And the rest of your co-founders?
So my brother Max has a similar background to me, pretty much copy and paste. Actually, we have very much parallel backgrounds. And then my partner Jonty Strimling is a actuary by trade. So he studied actuarial science and actuarial honors, and then straight after honors he came into GrowWise.
What was that learning curve like? Because you had to learn so much on the job, never mind learning how to build a business, learning how to run a business, but what tools to use, what processes to go about. How did you learn how to execute your vision? Like, where did you gain inspiration and methodology?
That's an interesting question. First of all, just to give you a bit of background, running a finance company is a very capital intensive business. And
exactly,
I'm not sure
yeah.
that's something we had realized at the time. We may have
yeah.
been a bit immature in that realization. It took us a little bit of time to realize that. But it definitely was an uphill battle. And you know, it was a fight to get going and get started. We did a lot of learning on the job. It was, you know, you sort of have to break it up into the challenges that you face. And we sort of broke it up into two main challenges. What are the challenges we face today? And what are the challenges we face in 6 months from now? And we sort of had to understand that we need to be solving today's challenges, but we also need to be preparing for the challenges that come in 6 months' time. And how do we make sure that when those bumps come up in 6 months' time, that we were prepared, we knew what was coming, and we, to at least to some level, we're able to mitigate and be prepared for those challenges. And I mean, I'm happy to go more in depth with that through the podcast, but it's definitely a situation where we did a lot of learning on the job. It's crazy. For two and a half years, YouTube was my best friend, you know?
Yes. Yes. So many people have great ideas, but it's those that execute it well that succeed. So what was your process to seeing your vision come to life?
First of all, you know, the central tenet, I think, of any well-executed business or entrepreneurial idea is the hunger. So we definitely came in hungry, and we were also realistic about it. You know, we came in and we knew that it was going to hurt, and we knew it was going to hurt a lot, and we knew that it was going to be an uphill battle. And I think some people are sometimes unrealistic about the challenge that you will face as an entrepreneur. It's one thing to have a great idea, and it's one thing to have a great concept. It's a whole nother ballgame when you actually get in it. And we always joke. I was sitting with my brother yesterday in our Cape Town offices. We have offices in Cape Town and in Johannesburg to give you perspective. So we're sitting together, and he was explaining to me that, you know, we've been putting out fires since day one as a startup. And it's a crazy concept to understand that, but it's something that you need to be really realistic about going into that. It's all good and well to have a great concept. Everyone has a great idea. And, you know, we see people, especially in our industry, that have great ideas every day. But what separates, you know, a great idea from great execution is the ability to understand that you will invariably face challenge. Challenge is it's the name of the game. And I don't think the challenge becomes less. And I know you've spoken to a wide array of people, some people far ahead of us, some people that are behind us in the timeline. And I think everyone would share the same sentiment that the challenges change, but the challenges don't go away. So we were comfortable knowing that, we understood that, and we were ready for that fight. And we've taken it one day at a time, and we've taken the challenges as they've come. We've been mature about them, we've been realistic about them, and we've approached them with more of a problem solving. It's quite interesting, you know, we've got these three partners, myself, Max, and Jont. We've approached them in a way that we understand that we're all on the same team. We may have different ideas of execution, but we're all in the room to execute the same long-term vision. And we've been able to sit down and have very, very constructive conversations around overcoming challenge. And I think that's been the absolute game changer for us, is the ability to actually sit down and have conversations and hear everyone out and understand the way of moving forward with each challenge.
How did you know you were onto the next big thing? Were you having conversations with people and realizing this was a massive need? Where did that come into play?
Okay, so that's a cool question. I'm not, and this could be controversial, I'm not a big believer in the next big thing. I've never been a big believer in the next big thing. And it could be controversial because I'm sure there's a lot of people that do found the next big thing. Mm-hmm. I was always an advocate for finding somewhere where there was inefficiency, a market where there was inefficiency, mm-hmm. or a market where we could do something better, and taking that and executing that vision. So, you know, I was sitting in South Africa. I was looking at businesses that had great cash flow and great concepts and were operational businesses. They were in business for a year, 18 months, 2 years. They had cash flow, they had track record, but they just didn't cross that line or qualify for that, that jump to secure financing or lending on a bank level, on an institutional level. And that was really how we decided we were on to the next big thing, so to speak, quote unquote. We realized that there was a gap in the market insofar as there was a sector to the market that was being underserviced or wasn't being serviced correctly. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we tried to attack and what we tried to leverage off. And interestingly, we thought that that gap would close, you know, the gap that was underserved. But I think coming out of COVID, we've noticed that the gaps become bigger. The market's becoming less and less well-served. Our market's becoming less and less well-served. So we didn't sit around the table and look for the next big thing. We sat around the table and said, well, where's there a market that's being underserved that we can try and come in and provide a product and a service that is valuable to the end user?
I am still, like, my mind is still in the place of your experience and, like, what led you to build this company. And all I can think about is the fact that there's so many businesses out there that are wanting to go into a new direction and hire younger people with a fresh perspective, which I'm sure you and your team had, not coming from a business where this is how you do things, this is the process, there's one way. How do you feel that, because of your experience or maybe lack of, make you guys maybe better than your competitors?
Okay, that's a cool question. And I actually don't have the answer, but I have feedback to give.
Okay, please.
It's interesting. So we've grown our team hugely in the last year. We've gone from we were a team last year, May. I think we were a team of four people. We're now a team of almost 40 people. And hiring people is always an interesting thing. It's always a fun thing. And we joke, now that we're hiring more and more, the interview process has to be a lot more streamlined. Mm-hmm, but, mm-hmm. you know, our process was always sitting down and having a cup of coffee, you know, ended up being ordering lunch into the office. After lunch, it ended up being getting another coffee. And these interviews were taking 2 or 3 hours, sometimes 4 hours. And, you know, sometimes we had people come to interviews and they actually left not really understanding if they'd been interviewed or not. but what we found is that the people that we were hiring, you know, out of corporate, you know, corporate workplaces were coming into the business and weren't really understanding our way of doing things.
Of course.
And sometimes we would butt heads over that. They just wouldn't understand why we did things a certain way when they were done another way in another business.
Yeah.
So I think we quickly started realizing that we had our own way of doing things. We built our systems, you know, from the ground up without mm-hmm. much understanding of what other people were doing. We were always we always had those horse blinkers on. We didn't really care what anyone else around us was doing. We cared about what we were doing. We were very focused on on what we were doing. And it's quite interesting. I don't look at a competitor's website, or I call them colleagues, but I don't look at colleagues' websites or platforms or systems like that, because we're really focused on what we're doing. And we did it through trial and error. You know, we put out a process. We realized that the process wasn't working. So we changed the process, and we'd find that, you know, this process, the new process was working at 70%. So we needed to tighten it up. We realized that the process that was working at 70% 6 months ago actually doesn't fit into how, you know, the business has evolved, and that we needed to scrap it and start something new. So there's a lot of trial and error. There's a lot of evolution, a lot of change, and it's taken a lot of patience from our team, you know, mm-hmm. to have management that walks into a business development room, you know, every couple of months and says, okay, we're scrapping the way we're doing this. We're going to try and do it this way. Please, everyone, have faith in me. Trust me. And you know, believe that what I'm saying is for the best, and let's give it a go. So, yeah, we didn't come with a corporate background. We didn't come with, you know, an understanding of how these things should be done. We built them from the ground up, and we're actually really proud of that. It's something that we take a lot of pride in, and I think it's something that makes us unique.
Yeah.
Because I suppose no one else can go and do what we're doing, because it's sort of something we did on our own.
What do you look for when interviewing? So maybe someone with a corporate background isn't the right fit. Is it hunger? Is it flexibility? Is it skill sets maybe that you guys are lacking? Yeah, what does that interview process look like? Do you guys have scorecards?
I've always been a people's person. My brother's always been a people's person. And Jonty's also a people's person. And I think the thing that we're proudest about at GrowWise is our people. And it's been, I think, the reason why we've been able to grow so quickly in such a short period of time. We've always been committed to people. We think that, you know, building a business is done in equal measures, ensuring that you're providing, you know, maximum value to your client or your end user, but at the same time providing maximum value or passing on maximum value to your teams. So do we hire based on if you were at a corporate or not? We don't really have rhyme or reason to that. Do we hire based on what your education was? We don't really have rhyme or reason to that. We hire based on certain character traits. We hire, like I always say, we hire the man or the woman, not the piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just always been our methodology of bringing people on board. And it seems to have served us really, really well. And, you know, once a week I do these weekly, you know, touch base with the team, and I sit with them for 15, 20 minutes each. And I'm always taken by how happy people are at work. And that's something that we're really, really proud of, and something that we've really invested time, money, and effort into. So how do we have scorecards? Yeah, we have scorecards. We follow the conventional methodology, I suppose, from an HR perspective of hiring people. But the interview process and our vetting process is anything but conventional. We really do hire the man. We hire for loyalty. We hire for hunger. Mm-hmm. We hire for strong character. And I think it's really served us well. You know, we've had the right people. By hiring the right people, we've also been able to, you know, pivot people into different roles. I say we always hire for promotion inwards, not outwards.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned being a people's person. How do you test for these things like loyalty? Like, how do you have a conversation with somebody? Is it a gut feeling? What is that?
If there's one piece of advice, I'm not sure if I'm qualified to pass it on or not, but if there's one piece of advice I can always impart on people, is that your gut feel comes before everything else. If that little knot in your tummy is telling you something's not right, that's probably not right.
Mm.
But for us, we always talk about the vibe check, something we're very proud of in our company is that it's an unbelievable vibe. And it's now gotten to the point where people approaching us saying, like, when am I getting my job? When am I getting involved in this thing? And the first thing we're not prepared to do is allow the chicken into the hen house. So we make sure that we're bringing someone on board that will gel with the rest of our team, and we'll be collaborative with the rest of our team, and we'll get on with the rest of our team. And I always joke, you know, we have our teams in Joburg and in Cape Town. These guys, I'll give you the specifics of both sides. In Joburg, these guys work, you know, typically the guys are getting in at 8 a.m. and they're working after hours, and then they still want to play golf together on a Saturday and Sunday. Like, yeah. I just don't understand it. They don't want time apart from each other. The guys in Cape Town have started their own soccer league. So they're finishing work after hours. They're bringing their clothes to work, and they're going to play soccer together. So I think a big thing for us was, or is looking for people that are prepared to work collaboratively with the team, prepared to be team players. And I think you instill quite, I think you instill loyalty and those other character traits to a certain extent. You lead from the top, you lead from the front.
I like that.
And I think if, you know, if you can set the right example for how to behave and how to treat people and how to treat your clients, it's a massive, massive thing. How to treat your clients. It's not just about the sale. It's about, you know, actually passing on value to the client. A lot of that stuff can be taught, or at least I'm of the impression that it can be taught.
You're making this all sound very easy. I'm sure it hasn't been smooth sailing building the business, but what would you say are your greatest challenges as an entrepreneur? What are the types of issues or challenges you face on a daily basis?
Look, merchant financing or alternate lending in South Africa is ever changing. And I mean, we're always trying to stay ahead of the curve insofar as how to innovate our product, how to, you know, maximize, I suppose, every client's bang for their buck, how we can actually help them grow. So I think that's a challenge, because if you aren't fighting to stay ahead of the curve, and that also that also you know runs onto, you know, the tech, the front side of things and the back end of things from an IT perspective. I think if you're not constantly trying to innovate and stay ahead of the curve, that's something that, you know, if you do stay ahead of the curve, that's something that will stand you in really good stead. And it sounds like I'm just imparting something, but that is a big challenge. It's something that we view as a challenge. It's something that keeps all our founders and a lot of our team up at night. You know, how do we ensure that we're executing our vision in the most efficient and effective way possible? Mm-hmm. So that's a big thing. I think, you know, the challenges at the beginning, and I mentioned this to a lot of people, but the challenges at the beginning when we started GrowWise were, we have limited capital. Where do we allocate our capital? You know, what are the fires that we need to be using our capital to put out? Mm. My view and my partner's view from day one was always using our capital to provide capital to clients. We have limited finance. We'll build these systems when we have the time and the money to build the systems. Right now, let's just get money out to our clients. Let's provide value. And, you know, a lot can be said for good service being something that's done on the phone, done on email, and actually just engaging and interfacing with clients. So our big challenge was always, and still is to this day, is what do we prioritize over what?
Yeah,
and those are really hard decisions to make at times. So I would say, you know, finding systems to leverage, or finding cost-effective systems to leverage, or dealing with tough clients. It's a very interesting thing. You know, I always say being in business development, especially in our business, you need to build a thick skin.
Yes.
So it's always interesting to watch new guys and how they evolve over time. I think that's probably the biggest part of my job is sitting with our teams and working through their challenges and working through their issues and helping them out. And it's the biggest challenge, but it's also the best. It's my favorite part of running the business. And I, to this day, still sit with – I have an office. I'm currently sitting in my office. But during the day, I have a cubicle in the business development room. And that's where I sit, because I think that's where I pick up, you know, the growing pains. We're on top of it, and we find the challenges. We try and alleviate them. I think the big thing with challenge is, you know, understanding and being really real about the fact that it's sometimes more important to make a decision than not make a decision. And a lot of people sometimes sit on making decisions. We're very big on making the decision and executing it. We know that sometimes we'll make the wrong decision, but at least we've done something. And I'm a big advocate for doing something. You know, when the house is burning, run into the house and get people out. If that was the wrong decision, we'll find out about that a little later. But I'm a big advocate for identifying the challenge and executing the solution, or executing the remedy as fast as possible. Obviously, within correct consultation and understanding the challenge, but definitely, you know, quick execution is the name of the game.
Talking about business development through this podcast and putting more focus on our brand at Talent in the Cloud, we've seen huge growth in our business. And finance companies may not be as exciting, but how do you stay on top of market trends and grow a relatable brand while still delivering your maximum value to your clients?
So I was actually chatting to John T a little bit earlier about this, and it's interesting that it comes up, but we're saying, you know, everyone always says finance is boring. Well, the truth is finance is not boring. Finance is fun and it's exciting, and it is what you make of it. We've always been really proud of being a brand that's, you know, in italics on trend. I don't know if you follow our social media, and I hope that you do, and I hope that some of your listeners follow our social media. But we've been very proud of being a brand that's on trend, being a tongue-in-cheek brand, so to speak. And I don't think that's a massive challenge. It's just deciding how you want to fit into the landscape of businesses. And we, from day one, always wanted to be something that was fun, exciting. We realized that, you know, we were always coming off the back of the Sona 2019 speech, right? So we knew that the entrepreneur of 2030 is only going to be in his early 20s or early 30s.
Yeah.
So we needed to come out in ways that would appeal to them and in ways that would differentiate us. And it's a crazy concept, you know, like our social media is a massive form of acquisition for us, because that's where the client is today. That's where the clients are. That's where the client's looking for services, for products. And we've always just tried to be something that's appealing. I'll link back and she'll thank me for the mention later. But our head of marketing and our head of especially digital marketing is a girl named Jenna Babes, or a lady named Jenna Babes, who's a quasi celebrity in her own right. You should watch her TikToks at some point. But she's just hysterical, and she came into the office, and she comes into the office every day, and she just brings a side to finance that, you know, the conventional thinker wouldn't bring. She brings creativity, she brings innovation, she brings a whole lot that, you know, we didn't think to bring in the beginning. And it's been a massive thing for us, being something that's on trend. And often when we release a post on social media or in media, I get messages and WhatsApps and LinkedIn requests and Instagram requests from tens, if not hundreds of people, just sending me the stuff that we've been distributing through GrowWise, and they love it. They can't get enough of it. So that's just been a massive thing for us, is being a company that's on trend, making finance fun, making finance exciting, making finance understandable. I think that's a huge, huge thing, is that, you know, finance metrics, they're not complicated metrics. They can sound very complicated, but, you know, if you're able to quote them in a way that's simple to understand and for people to really be able to digest the basics of it, it's a really exciting thing to try and create and grow your brand in a way that people understand. I often say, I don't think people understand finance fully when they get into it, talking about the client, obviously, not the provider. And that's been something that's big for us, is giving clients the capacity to understand financing in an exciting way.
Fantastic. Seb, thank you so much for sharing all your insights. It was great having you on the podcast.
Great. Thank you very much. I really enjoyed it, and I hope I was able to add some value. And I look forward to speaking again soon.
Of course. Where's the best place for listeners to reach you?
So I'm on LinkedIn. My LinkedIn profile is Sebastian Cohen. I'm sure there's quite a few, but you'll find me as the CEO of GrowWise somewhere on LinkedIn. That'll be the best place to reach me. I'm very responsive. You're more than welcome to reach out to me on message or however you see fit. And I'm very responsive, and I'm always prepared to make time to chat.
Great. Thanks, Seb.
Stacey, thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Talking Success, Connecting the Global FinTech Community. Feel free to follow us on LinkedIn at Talent in the Cloud. And if you're interested in exec talent, expanding your team, or you yourself are looking for a new exciting change in your career, check out our website, talentinthecloud.io.